I got back from a little thing called Ski Trip yesterday morning at about 2:30 a.m. I went to bed, and I woke up about 6 hours later, and we had planned a three-week series to start tonight, and I just had this feeling in my heart and my soul that God might have something else for us to talk about. And so I called Bron up, and I said, hey, I know this is kind of last minute, but do you care if we push our series back 1 week and we talk tonight about real resolution? Everybody's talking right now about New Year's resolutions, and people do all kinds of crazy things for New Year's resolutions. And so tonight, I want to talk about real resolution and what that looks like. And for those of you that didn't go on Ski Trip, I just kind of want to open up with a funny story. Talking about how people do crazy things in the new year, there was a group of five or six guys, and I'll just go ahead and say right now that I was one of those guys. They decided to do something really stupid on the third day of skiing. We had a vision. We believe it was from God that it would be fun and good to go down a mountain 20 degrees below, like it's really cold, with only shorts on. No t-shirt, no hat. These men wore no gloves. And we went down a huge mountain with almost nothing on. This is a vision that we had, and we got very passionate about this vision, okay? I want you to hang with me on this story. We had a vision. We got passionate. We're going up the ski lift. We brought jackets to ride on the ski lift, and then we took them off when we got up to the top. We were all getting excited. We were all screaming. We're all shivering. And we get up to the top, and we take action, and we go down the slope. And one thing happened that ruined the whole moment for me and Garrett Gelker. We stop halfway down the mountain for me to give him my video camera. And a local thought it would be funny to shred snow all over us, which is the number one thing you're worried about when you're going down a mountain with no clothes on, that you're going to fall in snow and you're going to freeze to death. So we stop, and literally we hear this guy start to laugh behind us. He's coming up fast, and he covers our backsides in snow, and it took our breath away. People like to do crazy things, right? I mean, that was crazy. And in the new year, in 2008, maybe some of you are here tonight, and you've got some goals that you want to accomplish. Maybe some of you that went on Ski Trip or saying, hey, there's some things I would like to do in 2008, maybe that I haven't done very well. And even if you didn't go on Ski Trip, you're here tonight and you're like, there's some things I've messed up in my life. I want to get them right this year. I want to grow closer to God. And we are all here tonight saying, I want 2008 to be better than 2007. And I want to give you some real practical pieces from God's Word that is going to show all of us how we can live with real resolution, not a resolution that we're going to give up in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, but I want to give you principles from God's Word that could help you become more like Christ, help you grow in your relationship with Him. So I want to invite you tonight to turn to 2 Samuel chapter 5. If you've got a Bible, if you don't, that's fine. It's going to be up on the screen. We're going to start in verse 17. And this is a story about a guy named David, who's one of my favorite guys in the Bible when it comes to really being able to resolve things in any given situation. David was faced with incredible amounts of danger, if you read the Old Testament, and he could resolve situations because he trusted God. Okay, start with me in verse 17. This is what Samuel says. When the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to seek out David. Now remember, the Philistines had a little run-in with David, and he killed one of their favorite guys named what? Goliath, right? Okay. So they're not happy that they killed their boy, and they're not happy that he's king. Okay? So David is in a dangerous situation. Watch this. And when David heard of it, he went down to the stronghold. That's like a high tower. Now the Philistines came and spread themselves out in the valley of Rephaim. I think that's how you say that. Then David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you give them into my hand? And the Lord said to David, go up, for I will certainly give the Philistines into your hand. So David came to Baal-perazim and defeated them there. And he said, The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like the breakthrough of waters. Therefore, he named that place Baal Perazim. And they abandoned their idols there. So David and his men carried them away. Now listen to this. This is like episode 2. Now the Philistines came up once again, like they didn't learn their lesson the first time, and spread themselves out in the Valley of Rephaim. When David inquired of the Lord, he said, "You shall not go directly up like you did last time. Circle around behind them and come at them in front of the balsam trees. It shall be, when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the trees, then you shall act promptly, for then the Lord will have gone out before you to strike the army of the Philistines." This would make a great movie, okay? Then David did so, just as the Lord had commanded him, and struck down the Philistines from Geba as far as Gezer. I'm not sure if I got that right, but I think I may have. Incredible story. For any of you that are here tonight that like Braveheart or Gladiator or any of those action movies, this would make an incredible scene. David, 2 times, defeats the Philistines. Because he was able to resolve situations, because he was able to trust God, because he asked God, this is a story that we can read and say, wow, God went before David. This is the first part. This is the first principle that I see in this story. David had vision. Look in verse 17. It says, "When the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to seek out David. And when David heard of it, he went down to the stronghold." Now, the stronghold, like I said, is a high tower. So when you go to a high tower, and in this story, the Philistines spread out in the valley below the stronghold, David has vision. Right? He's got the best perspective standing up at that high tower. Okay, the Philistines are in a much more weak position down in the valley. David's got vision. He can look right down, and guess what? In the Psalms, David calls God his stronghold. You think there's any connection there? Over and over in the Psalms, David says, "God, you are my stronghold. You are my high tower. I can go to you and I can get the best perspective." Going to the high tower, the stronghold, is so important in a battle, and even more important spiritually. When I was in 2nd grade, there was a bully in 6th grade named Ryan Dye. Okay, that's really his last name. In fact, he had an older brother that went to jail for murder. Okay, everybody was afraid of Ryan Dye. He was incredibly mean to everybody around him. And one day, I decided that I was going to go up against Ryan Dye. He lived down the street from me. He bothered all my friends. And one day, on our way to school, we all walked to school back then. And on my way to school, we walked by a park. It was right next to our school. And there was a huge trash can there that we noticed. We always thought it would be funny. It was always filled with little dog poo bags. And we always thought it'd be funny to take one of the dog poo bags and open it up and smash it on somebody. Kind of weird, but we thought it'd be a good idea. And so I decided one day that I was going to take some dog poo and put it on Ryan Dye's face, and that he would never bother me again. I'm telling you, he did some crazy things to younger kids. And so one day on my way to school, we kind of hung back and we were behind Ryan. We stop at this huge trash can, pull out one of the doggy poo bags, and we run up to Ryan and smack him in the back of his head with dog poo. And I can still see that moment frozen in my mind as one of my victorious moments in elementary school, 2nd grade. And I defeated Ryan Dye. Well, I didn't go to school that day. I ran home, and he's chasing me. It's about a 5-minute run. I run to my backyard. My parents have gone to work. And I've got a clubhouse, but it's a clubhouse up on stilts. It was the sweetest clubhouse ever. My dad and I built it. It's up on like 6-foot stilts, and I jump on the rope ladder. Okay, and I'm climbing up. I go through the window. I start to pull the rope ladder up. The doors are locked. I'm looking good. And Ryan Dye grabs on to the rope ladder. And I can see his anger like burning in his face. But you know what? I'm at the stronghold. I'm at the high tower. And in like a split second, I'm like, what do I do? I see an old Easter egg that my parents had hid for an Easter egg hunt up in the clubhouse. And I'm like, no way. And just in a split second, I just grabbed it and boom, smashed it on his face. And it blinded him. Like, I don't know what was in that Easter egg that was so old, but he couldn't see. And he screamed and screamed like a little two-year-old girl and walked back to his house. And I never had any more problems with Ryan Dye after that. But because I went to the stronghold, yeah, go ahead. You can clap. Spots. Because I went to the stronghold, because I was looking down, because I had the best perspective, I was able to blind momentarily the biggest bully in our school. I had vision. Spiritually, this is even more important. If you are constantly going to God, going to the stronghold, being in the presence of God, living your life, wanting to please God and saying, God, I know that I am prone to see life the way I want to, and I want to see life with your perspective. I want to constantly be standing at the stronghold. I want to constantly be standing in your presence so I can always have the best perspective. Real resolutions start with great vision. Saying, God, what is it that you want me to do in my life so that I can be more close to you? Now watch this, the second part of real resolution, watch this. Starting in verse 19, it says, then David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? I'm going to stop right there. That word inquired in verse 19, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, and when you translate that word, you're like, I don't really care about translations or Hebrew, but you need to understand this. When you translate that word, it means beg. David was begging God. Then David begged of the Lord, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? I picture David on his knees saying, God, the Philistines are after me. I've ticked them off. They know I'm going to be king, and I don't know what to do. There was so much passion in David's voice. And you know what? You can see it in the book of Psalms. If you read what David wrote about his relationship with his heavenly Father, you can see a man that was full of passion. And even when he sinned with passion. Not only did he sleep with somebody's wife, he killed her husband. I mean, David was passionate. And when he asked God for forgiveness for that, he was filled with passion. God, my sin is ever before me. I need you to erase that sin. I want to be cleansed. David was full of passion. One of my favorite illustrations of passion is in a movie called Rocky IV. If you haven't seen Rocky IV, you need to skip school tomorrow and rent it. And you can rent all the Rockies and watch them all in one day, and your soul will be filled, I promise you. I'm just kidding. Watch this clip from Rocky IV and watch the passion that he has when he trains for his upcoming fight. Watch this clip. Doesn't that just get you fired up? No? Makes me want to move to Russia and fight a large man. I could totally take that Russian dude. But did you see the passion? I mean, Rocky would later go on and beat that guy at the very end. And so much of the reason of why he won had to do with his passion, all of his training. See, his resolution was to beat the Russian. And because of his vision and his passion that he had, he was able to beat him. It doesn't just stop with passion, though. Because you can have a great idea of something that God might want you to do, or you may think, gosh, there is a sin that I'm struggling with and I've got to stop, or you may think, man, God, I know that you want to use me in a certain way, but I just don't know. There just seems to be so much stuff in my way. But if you have great vision and then you get passionate about it, the last thing that you have to have, if you don't have this, nothing will work. It's action. It's vision, it's passion, and it's action. Read in verse 21. It says, they abandoned their idols there. So David and his men carried them away. Verse 20 says, so David came to Baal-perazim and defeated them there, and he said, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me like the breakthrough of waters. God led David to a place where he could defeat the Philistines. He took action. See, real Christianity starts with vision and moves to passion, and we get excited about our relationship with God. But real Christianity, authentic Christianity, us really loving Jesus, always ends with action. It always ends with action. It always ends with us living our lives in a way that pleases God. That God says, yes, living like that, I'm going to work in every way possible through a life like that. Vision, passion will always only be accomplished through action. I worked at a camp some of you know called Kanakuk, and a friend of mine worked at Kanakuk with me, and at Kanakuk we have this thing called the tower jump, and the tower jump is this 40-foot tower standing next to this lake that all of our campers get a chance to jump off of. And the funny thing about the tower jump is it's probably about 100 years old, okay? So when you climb up it, it shakes, all right? And plus the water, by the way, the water that you jump into is like under 50 degrees. It's really, really cold, okay? So the tower jump, you climb up, and we had this student, he was about, I think, 8 or 9 years old. Okay, so we've got this camper. He gets really excited. He's climbing up the tower. And the rule is, once you get up to the top, it's safer to jump into the water than it is to climb down because the tower moves so much. So he's got this great idea about going up to the tower, and he climbs all the way up, and he's really passionate. He's standing on the edge, and he's looking down, and he's so pumped up, and he's so passionate, but he can't bring himself to jump. And so my friend, he's a counselor. He's standing up there with Evan, and he's trying to do everything he can to get Evan to jump off the tower. And they'll take a few steps, and they'll start to run, and he'll stop. And finally, my buddy says, hey, Evan, I'll hold hands with you, and we'll jump off together. Not the thing to do with somebody that's afraid of jumping off a tower. Okay? So they start at one, and they count to three, and my friend jumps, and Evan doesn't. So my friend's jumping, and he's going feet first, and Evan is now going face first, 40 feet in the air. Evan forgot to take action, and he broke his nose when he hit the water. Blood went everywhere. And my buddy, the worst thing about it was he promised Evan that he wouldn't get hurt on the front end. And the first thing Evan says when he pops out of the water is, you promised I wouldn't get hurt. As blood is pouring out of his nose. You see what happens in our relationship with God? Spiritually, if we forget to take action, if we say to God, God, I've got a great vision, I've got a great perspective, I'm hanging with you, I'm going to Shoreline, I'm going to small group, I'm doing all the right things, I get excited about you. I mean, don't we all get excited when we come on Sunday nights and sing songs and praises to Jesus? We all get passionate. And then what happens for a lot of us is we go back and we live the rest of our week for ourselves. And we forget to take action. And we forget that there's a God that is all around us that wants to invade our souls and our minds and our hearts and everything that's in us and lead us into action. I mean, think about what all of your schools would be like, how different they would be if we were faithful to the action that God called us to. David was a guy that was faithful. In fact, if you look at verse 22, it says the Philistines come up again. And David's passionate about God, and he says, God, what do you want me to do? Here they come again. And God says, hey, we're going to do it a little bit differently this time. We're going to go around. I totally picture Braveheart at this point, okay? He wants David and his guys to go around to surround them. And when God gives the sign, when they hear the blowing over the trees, go. And guess what? They whoop the Philistines' sauce again. They take them again. And they take action. And because David's faithful to taking action, the Philistines lose again. And this same story is told in Chronicles in the Old Testament. And the way the story ends in Chronicles says, and after that David defeated the Philistines twice, everybody feared the name of David and respected him as king. Incredible action that David was willing to take to be used by God, full of vision, full of passion, and full of action. That's what God's calling every single one of us to do. He's calling for all of us to have a vision for our lives. He's calling every single one of us to be passionate about pursuing a relationship with Him as our daddy, as our father, to be intimate and real and honest with Him. And then God, like I said, will always ask us and desire for us to take action. What I want to do tonight is I want to give you 5 minutes. We're going to sing Center again. I'm going to ask Jeff to come up. And I just want you to take 5 minutes and let God speak to you. And I want you to just own that time and say, God, what is it maybe that you want me to have a vision for? Or what is it that I've lost some passion over? Or maybe what action do I need to take to be more faithful in my relationship with you? I mean, God is so serious about this. God is so passionate that we would get a real vision for resolution, not something that we would give up in 2 weeks. Not something that we would decide it was not worth it in a month. But real resolution, really following Christ and having a devoted relationship with Him. I want to give you an opportunity right now to respond. Let's worship.